T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. This is John Chuckery's show. Start of the Brown Liquor Music Hour. Chuck Rose gets the first selection. Little Commodores. Zoom to get us started. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Streaming online at 929thegame.com. You can catch us live there, replays of the shows. Also, to download your radio.com app to be catching us on the go wherever you may be. Check us out there. Social media is all at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all those different platforms. The best way to follow us, it's through our personal Twitter handle. We'd ask you to follow us at JMSH316, at JMSH316. That is all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is producing the show, Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. I got some tickets to give away a little bit late in the show, but listen, we got a 4 one-day tickets to the 45th annual Atlanta Camping and RV Show. Be the fifth caller at 404-741-0929. Fifth caller, and you got to give Jarvis your favorite Royal Rumble. So be the fifth caller, tell Jarvis, hey, yo, and give us your favorite Royal Rumble of all time. If you are that person, you will get 4 one-day tickets to the 45th Atlanta Camping and RV Show at the Atlanta Expo Center coming up next weekend. So give us a call now. Win some tickets. Let's get to our NFL Squib Kick.
Take a look at the NFL with the Squib Kick with John Chuckery. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, several things to get into, and thanks to Jeremy Fowler for jumping on with us and talking about the NFL and some of these playoff games. So the Raiders, of course, ready to move to Las Vegas. According to Mick Akers of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Raiders team president Mark Bedane said on Wednesday that the team has sold out its allotment of PSLs for the brand new Allegiant Stadium. Now, the PSLs, we know all about that here in Atlanta. Lord knows you don't have to search very far. Okay? You don't have to search real hard and far to find PSLs. And around here, the disdain for the PSLs. PSLs have ranged in value from $500 to $75,000. And they've allowed the team to increase the budget for the construction of the stadium. The team had estimated $250 million in revenue from the PSLs. They have taken in so far $478 million. God bless. God bless. Hey, I ain't mad at you. Congrats to the Raiders if they, you know, that if all that's true. Now, I don't know what that means, if that's actual money paid or actual money that people have committed to. Because paid and committed to are two separate things, right? We all know that. What they paid and what they committed to, but what they actually paid. Like Harvey Updike was committed to paying, you know, $500,000 for the tumor trees, and he paid $500. So, oh yeah, look, we got $500,000. Yeah, but he's only paid $500. Doesn't mean a whole lot when it's all said and done. But good for the Raiders, man. They have raked it in, and look, a lot of buzz about them going to Las Vegas. Why not? I love the NFL in Las Vegas. More sports should be there. I think we're going to see that very quickly. Well, Antonio Brown, and we talked about this with Jeremy Fowler. So, per an NFLPA source, Drew Rosenhaus has informed Antonio Brown in writing that the relationship between the two men has been terminated conditionally. They say that Rosenhaus will rescind the termination if Brown secures appropriate counseling within the next 5 days. Now, no termination of a client-agent relationship becomes official under the NFLPA rules until a five-day waiting period has elapsed after the letter initiating the separation. Obviously, the goal here is trying to get help to Antonio Brown. So, listen, you heard Jeremy Fowler say he doesn't think he's going to be back in the league. I think it's a very dicey proposition to think that Antonio Brown. I understand, and I told him, I understand talent wins out. I get it. I know it. I understand it. Talent usually wins out. But there comes a point where you just become so unattractive to teams because the baggage and what you have to deal with is just too much. And when the Patriots are ready to just get rid of you completely after not even, you know, after not much time, I mean, you played a game, caught a touchdown, and then they're like, yep, that's enough. We've had enough for it. I don't know how he gets back in the league. I know he's talented, but once again, you start missing time and you're out of the league for a while. Just hard to come back with and you saw the latest with the video. I don't want to get into all that. It's just, you know, so we'll see. You know, if Drew Rosenhaus is ready to give up on you too, that's probably another sign that, hey man, it's time to change around some things and get things figured out. Jason Garrett is interviewing for the Giants offensive coordinator position. He interviewed yesterday. Said the Giants requested permission to speak with Garrett about their head coaching position before hiring Joe Judge. Now they're talking to Garrett about being the OC for them as well. They interviewed Mike Shula for the job. They're expected to talk to Freddie Kitchens, formerly the head coach of the Browns, but was the OC, actually quarterback's coach for the Browns the year before that as well. Of course, been the Cowboys coach for the last 9 years. I don't think you worry about hiring him on as a coach in waiting or anything like that. He did play for the Giants from 2000 to 2003, well-known and respected inside the building. John Mara, the co-owner, was asked about the possibility of hiring Garrett as a Giants OC. I certainly wouldn't have any objection to that. I have a lot of respect for Jason. At the end of the day, that's going to be Joe's decision. So we'll see. I do think that he is going to get a offensive coordinator job. I think he does have a good offensive mind. Maybe he didn't always get put to use, and maybe he trusted some other coaches too much. But I do think that he is going to get an offensive coordinator position at least in the NFL. So the NFL and NFLPA are headed toward a new labor deal, but according to a report from Pro Football Talk that they obtained, DeMarie Smith has some summaries about where they are at so far in the agreement and the stages that there is, and he says that there are quote-unquote major issues that remain. So according to the story here, it says that topics that currently prevent a deal from being done include, number one, the maximum percentage of revenue that players could reach each year in salaries and benefits. Number two, minimum cash spending requirements for each club and league-wide. So even though you have a cap, you want to make sure you've got a floor and things like that. Number three, the continuation of and ultimately an increase in the NFLPA Legacy Fund, which in 2011 increased pensions from four pre-93 players, pre-1993 players through contributions of active players and NFL ownership. Number four, greater increases for individual minimum salaries. Five, removing the escrow requirement / funding rule as a barrier to guaranteed contracts. Okay. Six, rules for players drafted in the first round and for restricted free agents. I don't know what that means, if that's getting rid of the fifth-year option or what. I don't know. And seven, a liability waiver proposed by the NFL for on-field injuries. So they say a source with knowledge of the situation described the liability waiver as, quote-unquote, a non-starter. So there are talks about a 17-game regular season being in the works, along with a reduced preseason and an expanded postseason. They say that the two sides are in agreement on provisions that would increase the guaranteed revenue coming to players, increases in minimum salaries, performance-based pay, injury protections, and practice squad benefits, improvements to the players' offseason, especially reduction of contact during training camps. And Randy McMichael talks about this all the time. How much less contact can you make? How much less contact is possible to have? They don't touch now. There aren't two-a-days. There aren't heavy practices. They don't touch now. How are you going to get better? Decreases in fines for on-field violations. A significant increase in benefits. I'm guessing health benefits and things like that. And significant modifications to the drug and disciplinary policies. Now, by all accounts, they say that a deal will get done, and it's just a matter of getting some of these deals, you know, worked out and things like that. They say that if the contract were premised on a 16-game regular season, that this deal would already be done and in place. And that's the thing. If you're going to go to 17 games, how are you going to sit there and not give the players more and a bigger share and more money? Even if you reduce the preseason, if you're going to increase the paying game day experience, the players have got to get more for it. I'm on board with that. I'm on board with the idea that if we're going to 17 games, players got to get more benefits for it. Now, some of those things, I don't know exactly what they mean when they talk about rookie deals and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what direction they're headed with all that stuff, but that's one of those things that, I don't know, that you read these things in these reports and say, okay, what does that really mean? Give me a nuts and bolts, real-world example of how all of that works. Hey, the fourth annual Game Bowl is taking place Saturday, January 25th, Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. It's going to happen from 7 to 11. Raffle prizes are going to include autographed items that are Julio Jones football, Matt Ryan jersey, PT Martinez jersey, and a Trae Young basketball. Shaky Knees and Shaky Boots festival tickets. Lots of stuff there. Go to our events page at 929thegame.com and register to be a part of all of this. So if the Braves add Ozuna or Castellanos, where does that put them as far as their ceiling goes in the National League? We'll talk about all of that next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. John Chuck Michaud back in the Key Studios with you. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. It's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line as well. Hey, join Hugh Douglas, 92.9 The Game, and Steak'em this Sunday at Walmart located off Howell Mill Road in Atlanta. It's going to be from 2 to 4 p.m. Atlanta football player Alex Mack will be signing autographs, along with celebrity chef Kevin Rathburn. They'll be cooking up their favorite Steak'em Philly cheesesteaks. Plus, going to be raising money for local food banks as part of the Taste of NFL's Kick Hunger Challenge. We do want to say congratulations to John out in Douglasville. He won 4 one-day tickets to the 45th annual camping and RV show at the Atlanta Expo Center from Friday, January 24th through Sunday, January 26th. For ticket info, go to the AtlantaRVShow.com. And his favorite Royal Rumble, 2007. That's the 20-year anniversary because 87 was the first ever Royal Rumble. Undertaker, right? 2007, Undertaker is the... he came out late in that match, but he was the winner. And I think went on to take on Batista, if I remember right, in the in WrestleMania that year. That's the champion that he decided to take on. So good stuff. Congratulations, John. You got some tickets there. So speaking of getting some tickets, as the Atlanta Braves are getting closer and closer to being at spring training and pitchers and catchers, what about 25, 26 days, you know, somewhere around in that range. We're under 4 weeks. How about that? I can tell you that that for sure. So as we get there and the Josh Donaldson hangover and non-signing continues to kind of linger, the stench, you know, of all of it, the rumor and innuendo is getting to be about what the Braves do next. And, you know, nobody seems to get the sense that the Braves are going to start parting ways with assets. Now, there is some talk and some chatter about maybe the Braves, or I shouldn't say maybe, but there are reports that the Braves have started back into talks with Chris Bryant. and trying to see if they can work some kind of deal. Supposedly, they didn't like the offers that they got early on, and no deal was made, and they gave him some money, and off we go. We don't know yet Chris Bryant's status about whether or not he's a free agent after 1 year or 2 years. Okay? Still rumors about Nolan Arenado, who's got the opt-out for a couple of years. Maybe St. Louis. That seems to be a very possibility, you know, depending on what kind of package that they're willing to offer. But that seems to be one of the teams that's very much, you know, in it. But I do believe that more along the lines of trading and giving away prospects, that the Braves are going to end up going the free agent route. And two guys who become available or are available out there to pick up are two outfielders. And I think that's where the Braves look. Look, Camargo and Austin Riley, you could probably get enough production out of those two guys to where it's not Josh Donaldson, but you get something back out of that position. You know, it's not a bunch of guys who are complete non-hitters, you know, that are just glove guys only and don't hit anything. No, I mean, obviously, Austin Riley is what's supposed to be the future at third base for this organization. And let's not forget, Camargo a couple of years ago was very good at third. Both defensively and offensively, he was fine. He actually had some pretty good numbers, all things considered. I think it was 18 homers and 76 RBIs when all was said and done. So most likely a corner outfield. And a lot of talk that Nick Castellanos or Marcell Ozuna would be the two guys that would be selected. Now, to me, both of those guys are, meh, they're all right. You know, they're both guys mid to high, you know, somewhere between 25 and 30 homers. They don't drive in a ton of runs. They don't hit for a lot of average. They don't get a lot of on base. There's nothing great and nothing special about Castellanos or about, my brain just go blank, Ozuna, Marcell Ozuna. So if that's the move, then what becomes the ceiling for the Braves? Well, I still think that the Braves, even without Donaldson right now, are still one of the better teams in the National League. I still think that even adding one of those outfield bats, that first and foremost, they're the best team in the division. Now, that's not the goal, though. And miss me with the, well, you know, they got to win the division to be able to win. Okay, we understand and get all that. You're not breaking any ground. Okay, that's not where we're at. That's not, I don't want to hear chatter about winning the division and things like that. Just go out and win ball games. That part will take care of itself. You don't have to go out and make a concerted effort to win the division. Go out and win games. You win the division, oh, probably have home field advantage and everything else that comes out of all of it. Okay? So let all that stuff will all sort it, you know, itself out. But I do think the Braves are the best in the NL East. But, you know, where do you go from there? Well, you know, depending on if the Cardinals really are in the Nolan Arenado sweepstakes, if they land Arenado, they're going to be one of the absolute favorites to win the National League. For a team that did beat the Braves last year when it came playoff time, there's no question that they're going to be one of the favorites at that point if they land Arenado. I think the Cubs are still a factor, even though they haven't really done much of anything and trying to decide what to do with Bryant. Now, they trade Chris Bryant, I'm going to feel differently about the Cubs. But standing pat as is right now, because you can't predict the unknown like that, Cubs are going to be feared. The Dodgers are still the class of the National League. And yes, they lost Ryu, you know, the guy who's, you know, did he win the Cy Young? Did we officially get any word about all that? Is a Cy Young winner? Actually, no, he wasn't. DeGrom was the Cy Young winner again this year. Back-to-back years for DeGrom. So he didn't even win the Cy Young this year. But he finished real high in the Cy Young voting. That's a definite loss, but they still have a whole bunch of starting pitching. You know, they got Buehler and Kershaw to lean back on. That's two really good guys. Alex Wood is coming back. The Dodgers, to me, are still the class of the National League. And part of it, too, is that the fact they've been there. They were there a couple of times. You know, they found a way to get to the World Series. Braves haven't found that way yet. You know, Braves couldn't get out of the first round of the playoffs, out of the divisional round of the playoffs last year, you know, losing to St. Louis. And, of course, that Game 5 was, you know, the drizzling you-know-whats, the drizzling shiz, as we like to say. But I still think the Braves are one of the better teams. But to me, that doesn't move the meter on the World Series when you talk about Castellanos or Ozuna. Because at this point, to me, there's no other goal except you're telling me we can win the World Series. There's not a reason to dumb down any expectation despite who stays, who goes, whatever like that. The core important pieces of your team are together, and there's money to be spent still, and you can do a lot of things. So, you know, my expectation, I don't care if they do lose Donaldson. You're still World Series or bust. You're still supposed to be the team that's going to be the class of the National League, and I still look at you as World Series or bust for all of it. But those moves to me don't move the meter. You know, I want that guy. I want that guy on this team. That's Arenado or Bryant or Betts or Lindor. While Castellanos and Ozuna are nice players and they're good players, they're above average players, they ain't one of those guys. They're not one of those guys that's special. And that's where we come into about winning the World Series. Give me guys who are special to go win the World Series. You know, they're going to tell you things like, well, we signed Travis d'Arnaud and look at the year that he had. He did. He definitely had a good year after doing nothing in 2018 because of injury. You know, he's a guy that plays barely over 100 games, you know, a year. I don't know how much of an upgrade that is from Brian McCann. Offensively, you basically are getting the same player, so there's no real big difference between the two of those guys. I don't expect him to play a lot more than 100 games because if he is injury-prone, you don't want him breaking down, and they sign Tyler Flowers. And the reality is Snicker likes Tyler Flowers. Whether Tyler Flowers can catch a baseball or not doesn't really matter. The manager likes that guy, and he's going to get plenty of playing time. Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of that. So I'm okay with those moves because it's better than nothing. But I will tell you, don't tell me on a successful offseason if that's what it is. It's time for this team to try to figure out how to go win a World Series. And I'm going to be on that mantra and on that mantra and on that mantra all year long. You know, I'm not going to be impressed if they win the NL East. They've done that the last 2 years. They've been 187 wins in the last 2 years. Do the math on what that average is out to be. I've seen that, done it, been there, got the T-shirt, understand all that. It's got to start getting, and by next level, it's not, nobody, you don't sit there and say, oh yeah, we're a playoff team. We're just trying to get to the National League Championship Series. No, man, once you're a playoff team, you're there for the whole thing. You're there to go win there the whole thing. That's the goal. That's what you have this core in place for. Now, the Braves did have, by the way, a breakfast this morning with their A-list membership club that they have, and they had like a Q&A with Alex Anthopoulos, and I don't remember if it's Terry McGuirk or somebody else. It wasn't Brian Snicker, and it wasn't John Schuerholz. That I know for sure. It might have been Terry McGuirk or somebody, but they had a breakfast Q&A, and it was their A-list group, which is kind of like their premium ticket level group and stuff like that. And I read some of the comments. It's all the same stuff, you know. Well, we're looking for a pitcher. We're looking for a hitter. You know, we're looking for what the marketplace, you know, has or does or whatever like that. So, you know, it's all the usual statements that we've gotten. Well, you know, we've talked about payroll and we can spend money and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, it's all available there. You know, it's all available. But I'm just not going to be, you know, I'm not going to be impressed if that's what it is. And this is supposed to be the season where we get to go for it. And maybe they'll surprise us and they'll go for Arenado. I'd take Chris Bryant too, by the way. I mean, I'd be more than happy to have Chris Bryant. But it's going to cost you to do that. Okay? It's going to cost you. If you want one of those guys, it's going to cost you. Okay? You're going to have to spend some asset. You're going to have to trade some of those precious prospects to get a guy like that, to get a league MVP back in return. World Series champion, league MVP. You're going to have to give up some assets for it. So as long as the Braves are willing, you know, to do that, and they haven't shown a propensity to want to do that, that's why I think the free agent route is much more likely than them going into the trade market. All right, we get back. Hey, our buddy Sparty is here. We'll talk to him for a little bit. We'll talk a little basketball with him. I'll teach him and educate him a little bit more. So, ball next. Chuck McKee Studio, Sports Radio 910 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back in the Kia studios. It is the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you till 11 o'clock, 404-741-0929 as the Brown Liquor Music Hour rolls right along with my guy, Luther. I love it. Follow us on social media. Station's at 92.9 The Game. Got a cool video up there with Teddy Long. We cut a promo about our wrestling event coming up on Saturday. Check us out there and on Facebook as well. Follow us. I'm at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. And the man to my right hanging out with me for a few minutes, he is our basketball insider here on 92.9 The Game, at Tate's Take Hoops. What's the name of that podcast that you got, Above the Rim or something like that? Or,
come on, man.
What is it called?
Bird's the Word with Andy Bunker and
Bird's the Word, man.
All Hawks related, all Hawks based podcast with Gordon Robinson and Andy Bunker. Just put out a new episode of it tonight, man. So go out there and check it out. It's on the website.
Wow. So you guys are riding Andy's coattails now, huh?
I beg your pardon.
What happened? What did I miss?
I clearly missed something.
Wow, okay. This is the second time I've seen you today, by the way, too.
Yeah, man.
Out here. Let's talk a little Hawks to get started here. They're sitting with the worst record in the NBA. It's half-game difference between them and Golden State. You know, they add Jeff Teague. I can't imagine that the Hawks are really in the business of really doing much. Will they make another move? Maybe, just to help kind of round out the roster. And if anything, you know, as guys kind of hit some walls and stuff like that, they got some NBA talent. But I don't see the Hawks doing a whole lot as we move. I don't think the Drummond thing's going to happen. I don't think there's any kind of even move like that we're going to expect to see out of them.
Yeah, the word on the street right now as far as Drummond is that the Hawks have kind of pulled out of pursuing Andre Drummond at this point, as of today, according to some of the sources. But ideally, I would like to think that, you know, I'm kind of curious about what the fan base, you know, kind of thinks a little bit about this move to go and get Jeff Teague, because while it is evident that a backup point guard is necessary,
right,
it's also very important that there's some more help in the front court as well. And if it's true that Trae Young has been raving about not having the help, then I'm not really sure if Jeff Teague is exactly what he had in mind. But just looking forward to some optimism and some positivity the next two games up against the Pistons as well as the San Antonio Spurs following the next two games. Those are two teams that they've beaten this year, so I don't know. We'll see.
I think the Jeff Teague thing is as much about off the court, work with Trey. He likes Trey, you know what I mean? That there's no real animosity there or anything like that. It's not about, you know, Trey took his job and this kind of stuff. I think there's just a familiarity with the organization and kind of bringing, you know, a older veteran face, mm-hmm. you know, to come in with some of these young guys. And if just nothing else, show them how to – I don't care if it's show them the day-to-day life of the NBA and things like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not going to say that bringing him in is a terrible idea. Then again, I'm also not the one that's, you know, vomiting when I hear him coming in as a backup, but – you know, I personally thought that for a guy like Darren Collison, who retired relatively early and was thinking about coming back, I thought he was a little bit more of an ideal piece from a backup standpoint. But when you're looking at a guy like Jeff Teague, I mean, 13 points per game on the season, six assists, and that's 22nd in the NBA, 38% shooting from three, and what I think is probably a little bit more on the optimism side, 45% shooting from the field, and he's been in the mid to upper 40s. In terms of percentage with minus his rookie year. So I know that probably doesn't move the needle for a lot of people, but, you know, we'll definitely find out, I think, from, like you said, from a veteran leadership standpoint and to be able to come in and give some contribution and some production to help out Trey is always a good thing.
Just real quickly, just kind of quick grade on the Hawks at 8, nine and 32 at the halfway point for the season. Kind of overall grade.
Failing. Simple as that. Exclamation point. Wow. Point. Failing. Because the expectations for this team is much higher. And whether you're the person that wants to believe that they would be right there at the 8 spot or, you know, right on the outside looking in at 9, I think at worst case scenario, this should have been a team that was positioned for, at bare minimum, 10th place. And I know about all the John Collins stuff, and we can put that out there, and that's fair to say. But at the end of the day, it is what it is.
Right, but that's John Collins' fault.
Right, I understand.
You know, I mean, I know you're saying, I mean, it's just, you know, if anybody tries, well, they didn't have John Collins. Yeah, but that was his fault, though.
Yeah,
why they didn't have him.
Yeah, it wasn't an injury or anything like that. Or
it wasn't like he went on personal leave because mm-hmm. a family member got sick. I mean, he's the one who screwed up. You know what's funny is, you know, if the Hawks had only won, let's say, four more games, you know, that'd be a 50% increase in the wins that they have right now. As silly as that says, that's kind of where it is. I understand what you're saying. Would I say failing? No. Would I say underachieved? Yes.
What's the difference?
Because
it's clear that they underachieved. I mean,
yeah, but I don't think we thought they'd be the worst team in the NBA. But the real problem is right now they're not enough in striking distance to try to make a run at an 8 seed. You know, if they won four more games and they were sitting at 12 or 13 wins, would they look that much better?
Right.
Would they really be that much better? Problem is, you got seven teams ahead of you trying to get the eight spot.
That's true. And I think another part of this that a lot of people aren't really talking about very much is that they've just been very unfortunate in the IR department in regards to guys being injured and stuff like that. It seems like everybody on this team has missed games, you know, because of an injury. I think, what is it, maybe only 128, if I'm not mistaken. I need to check that. Minutes played all together with Trae Young and Kevin Herter and John Collins all on the court at the same time.
Yeah, 59 possessions or whatever it was that Travis Schlenk talked about. All right, let's talk some college hoops.
If I
told you the top seven teams in the nation right now ranked, if I told you that Duke and Kansas would be in there, yeah, why not? Why would it's Duke and Kansas, right?
Sure.
What if I told you it's Gonzaga, Baylor, Auburn, Butler, and San Diego State all around them? How crazy does that top 25 look? Because in both polls, Gonzaga and Baylor are 1-2.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I definitely wouldn't have called that to begin the season. And that's going to look a little bit different. Obviously, you know, Duke took a loss. Who knows how far they're going to drop? Auburn, they're a team that, you know, was just unbeaten and just lost on the other night to Alabama. And, you know, they're also a team that hasn't played a ranked team all season, and they'll only have one on the schedule for the remainder of the season, and that's Kentucky.
Yeah, their schedule's pretty sad.
Huh? Yeah, it is. It is. It is very poor. But, you know, from that standpoint, I mean, I think that, you know, this is January Madness right now. It seems like we've been witnessing March Madness throughout the whole duration of college basketball.
I mean, look at Sparty, even the rest of Oregon is at 8, Florida State at 9, West Virginia is in the top 12, 13, Dayton, the fighting Sean Thompsons are.
That's a Final Four team, by the way, Chuck. I want to let you know that.
Do they have another hot, young, and up-and-coming coach that's going to come coach Tech like I heard all that nonsense before, or what's the story there?
I mean, I don't have much of a story there.
Some other failed Michigan State assistant
up-and-coming
coach that turned out to be nothing?
Here we go. I will tell you who I would like to see there.
That won 30% of his league games while he was here, and people talked about him as if, you know, he was – like doing some kind of good job as a young up-and-coming guy?
Well, to be fair, and I know it's not Georgia Tech, but if we're going to keep it right here homegrown and you're going to talk about former Michigan State assistants, there's one that's doing a fairly decent job up the road in Athens who's under that Izzo tree as well. So make sure you cover all the bases. Check all the boxes.
It's because he got his real bones at Indiana. So that wasn't here.
Well, Anthony Edwards is helping them out a whole lot, too. I'm sure.
Well, listen, but they got to be a tournament team.
Yes, I mean,
it's great to get Anthony Edwards, and it's unbelievable that in this short window that he's brought that kid here, but you have to capitalize on that. Like, you can't – it's great to have Anthony Edwards, but if you don't get to the tournament – doesn't mean a whole lot.
Well,
it's like LSU with Ben Simmons.
For sure.
What did that mean?
Yeah, Markelle Fultz, same conversation.
Yeah, I mean, that didn't mean a whole lot.
That is true. That is true. But I, especially in a season like this where it's so wide open, if Georgia can't find a way in with arguably the best player in the country and or the number one pick, arguably, then there's going to be a lot to say about that. But this is one of those years in college basketball, I mean, you just really don't know who the front runner is. There's no star players. We've gone from seeing Trae Young get all the highlights and all that in college. And then the following year, we have Zion Williamson. And then there's really a drop-off this year. I think we're talking about Obi Toppin from Dayton at this point, who I like to think will be a lottery pick, if not top five as well.
Yeah, and Tech, I mean, they lost the other night. Last night, maybe it was, to Notre Dame.
They did.
You know, again, they're we played hard. We got close. We were there. But they don't win.
Yeah.
No, I mean, they're the, hey, you know, we tried hard, but – there's never any results.
I've been the one that's been lobbying for Shaka Smart to get right here in Atlanta. I think the kids would be able to really relate to
him. How'd you get that Tori McElhaney to follow you and she don't follow me?
Well, I mean, you know, you got to be Tate's take, man. You know, you already got your own show.
But I bring her on air.
Top night show.
I bring her on air and she gets pub here and all that. And then she follows you and not me.
Blame the light skin.
Hell, in July, I'll be darker than you. Make it back. Time for the Love TKO. Thanks, my man, Sparty.
Tate's Take Hoops, on the Twitter. Vote for Trae Young.
There you go. We'll be back. Love TKO to wrap things up. Hand off to Dwayne Walker, Sports Radio, 9 to the game. What was I gonna
do? I let myself go. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.